Well, I'd like to start off by saying thank you. I've enjoyed the last couple of weeks that I've had teaching the adult Sunday school class, and I hope you've enjoyed it as well. That's it. Let's go. We've been talking about prayer. And thinking back to the first Sunday in February, during our Lord's Supper, Bill Pollard got up and he said, wouldn't it be great if we all could dream great dreams and pray great prayer? And a question that's been going around in my mind, and hopefully yours these last few weeks as we've been thinking about this, is, what is a great prayer? What is a great prayer? And how do we get to the point where we could be praying great prayers? Just ask yourself this question. Did any of you pray a great prayer last week? You know, that's what we're trying to do. Yeah. Hopefully, all of us have. And if you came to the conclusion that, yeah, I think I prayed a great prayer last week, then I'm going to ask you, what made it a great prayer? I mean, if that's what we're trying to do, we have to know what it is we're attempting to target. As a hypothesis, what we've had over these last few weeks is we figured some of the prayers that we find in the Bible are great prayers. And maybe if we look at them and study them, there's a couple of things that we can learn about what a great prayer is, how we can pray that way. And so we've looked at a number of prayers. The first week, we didn't quite get to it, but we touched on prayers of worship and praise. And we looked at Hannah's prayer and the prayer of Mary. Second week, we looked at prayers that God would do His will. And we looked at the prayer of Nehemiah and the prayer of Daniel, that God would do His will and reestablish His people in the land. Last week, we looked at prayers of what happens when there are threats to God's will. We looked at the prayer of Hezekiah and Jehoshaphat, how they prayed when, well, it wasn't that the people were sinning, but there was a physical attack on God's people in Israel, how they prayed. We also looked at the prayer of Peter and John in Acts 4, after they'd been pulled in by the Sanhedrin, says, hey, no more preaching in the name of Jesus. How did they pray? The assumption I made that those were good prayers. They're great prayers. What made it so? A lot of times when you get this, you know, studying many things in the Bible, theology, you're going, oh, wouldn't it just be great if, you know, Peter were here and we could say, hey, Peter, what did you mean by that? Or Paul, what did you mean by that? And he could lay it out for us. Fortunately for us, when we talk about prayer, we do have a couple of things like that in the Bible. In fact, some people came up to Jesus and say, hey, teach us how to pray. Maybe I'm stretching a little bit, but we're going to be looking at, and I'm going to assume, that whatever Jesus taught them to do, that was a great prayer. So that, I mean, maybe I'm making a leap of faith there, but we're going to be starting off with the assumption today that when Jesus taught them how to pray, He was teaching them how to pray a great prayer. He's not here today, so you can do anything you want. I'm not saying it's not. Maybe a simple prayer is the greatest of all prayers. I think that's what we hope we get to in about the next 30 minutes when we wrap up. I'll at least give you my definition of what a great prayer is. And hopefully it'll at least cause the rest of you to be thinking about it, and we do see what a great prayer is. So what is a great prayer? We're going to be looking at the two key prayers that we find in the Gospels. One of them, the Lord's Prayer, as we refer to it. We'll be looking at the one in Matthew chapter 6. And then we're also going to be looking at what I call the Lord's Prayer 2, which is Jesus' prayer in John 17. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. We don't have time to read through this, but most of us probably have it memorized. But go back and read those few verses before the beginning of this prayer. Like it's starting in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6. Getting the background and then the Lord's Prayer. If you remember, as we've been going through this, talking about prayer, with each of these prayers that we've looked at after the last few weeks, the first question I've asked is, what is the prayer's, or the person prayer's, attitude? What is their attitude? What are they bringing when they come before the throne of grace, so to speak, and pray? What is their attitude? And so the first question I ask here, what is the attitude that Jesus is assuming these people are going to have when they come and pray? Okay, humility and dependence. Nothing boastful or proud. So the attitude we have here is one of humility, one of dependence. Okay? I think honesty. Okay? Anything else? Okay. Not a lot of words. Simple? Succinct? Okay, absolutely. So I would like to say, is this somewhat similar to some of the other attitudes we've seen for those of us who've been here the last few weeks as they've come before God? An attitude of humbleness, humility, dependence, knowing that God is going to act? I think so. This is what we've seen. In each of the prayers we've also looked at, we start out by looking at the attitude of the prayer, and then I said, what is the attribute of God? What is the attribute of God? Each of the prayers started out with an invocation of God. And in each of the various types, it was amazing how they paralleled a certain attribute of God. What is the attribute of God? Sovereignty? Okay. That's one. Holiness. Holiness. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. I have to admit, you know, last Sunday, Don Cole was saying how that was a rich word that meant so much. I wasn't sure what it meant, so I had to pull out my dictionary to make sure. But it just means holy. Make holy. So God's holiness. His sovereignty. So here in this prayer, that at least for discussion purposes right now, we're saying is a great prayer. This is what God told us. He starts off, and the attribute that he focused on is God's holiness. God's holiness. Hallowed be thy name. Is there any other prayer that we've looked at over the last 3 weeks that also focused on holiness, that attribute? You can remember? The very first two we looked at, not asking God for anything, but just praising him. Both Hannah and Mary, they start out and focus on the holiness of God. The holiness of God. And I threw out at that point the concept that when you're looking at pure worship of God, the attribute of his holiness is so important. From those two prayers that we saw Hannah and Mary, and then I suggest that if you look in Isaiah, we get a glimpse into glory. What are the angels doing as they praise God? Holy, holy, holy. In the book of Revelation, we have another glimpse into heaven and the angels praising God. What is the attribute they focus on? Holy, holy, holy. And now here Jesus says, hey, this is the way you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy, God's holiness. Key attributes. So after we have our attitude, God's attribute, what goes into the prayer? This is a real short prayer. I found four things in this prayer that we kind of touch on. After I put down the beginning, an opening of worship and adoration. Kind of an invocation at the beginning of the prayer. And then I found four distinct requests in this prayer. What are these? Did you see them? What do you see in here? You might find more. I mean, I'm not saying there are only four. You might not even agree with me that there are four. But what are some of the things that we see in this prayer? Provision, okay? How do you see that? provision. Meet our physical needs. Okay, that's one. Confession. Okay. Where's that? Okay, anything else? Okay. I'm going to put a little slash because what is they specifically asking not to be led into? Temptation. Okay? I'm going to call that spiritual protection. Anything else? Okay. Okay. That was the last one I had. Very simple prayer. Starts off with a invocation, adoration for provision, for confession, for protection, and that God's will be done. Would you say this is a great prayer? Yes? No? Maybe? Okay, I'm going to say it is. I'm going to say it is. Okay. Okay. Well, great minds think alike, Brad. Next question I had is, are great prayers repeatable? Are great prayers repeatable? If this is a great prayer, I think most of us would say it is, would it make sense for us to memorize it and repeat it? And then, if this is the prayer we always use, then we always say a great prayer. Oh, isn't that just, it makes life so easy. Okay. Okay. There was a hand way in the back here, then I'll come up here. Okay. Okay. The key thing is the attitude that starts off. Thank you, Mrs. Absolutely. Absolutely. Your mind is part of making a great prayer, but the heart is what really makes it a great prayer. Absolutely. For those of you, Absolutely. For those of you who've been here for the month, what analogy were we using for prayer? Remember? And I said, don't push this too hard. But I like this concept. What? The muscle. We were saying prayer has to do with the relationship. Prayer has to do with the relationship. And one of the key reasons that we study prayer is not that we can pray great prayers. We want to do that, but that's secondary. You want to study prayer because that is the communicating with God. And ultimately what we want to do is have the best possible relationship we can between ourselves and our Maker. And by studying prayer, that's a way we can improve that relationship. Just like in a marriage. You can work on communication, and it can get better. But the object of that communication is not to have better communication. The object is to have a better marriage. Likewise, we're studying prayer, not for the sole end that we can have better prayer, albeit we do want to have that. But a better prayer is not an end in and of itself. It is a means whereby a stronger relationship is created between us and our God. Okay? I see you want to say something. You don't pray to get faith, but prayer is the voice of faith. Very good. And I think that comes back in with my analogy of why I wanted to make prayer the muscle of a relationship. And that muscle is something that can get stronger or weaker. The more you use it, the more you exercise and work out, the more muscle you have and the stronger that muscle is. And I think prayer, faith is very much like that. The more we use it, the stronger it will become. So when I ask this question, are great prayers repeatable? I think the answer is both yes and no. If you think by just repeating the words you've got a great prayer, you've missed it. But you can take someone else's words, match them with your own attitude and faith, and have a great prayer. The analogy I would use, sticking within the marriage relationship, how many of you write your own anniversary or Valentine's Day cards to your spouses? Maybe you did that when you're courting, but as you get farther down, I have to confess, I haven't done that recently. I go out and I look for a card and I buy one. Does that mean my wife does not appreciate it? No. I can take someone else's words, match them with my attitude of love and devotion to her, and it can become very meaningful. I think the same thing can be said of prayers such as the Lord's Prayer. Dave. I'll let somebody else try and answer that one. No, Judy? Certainly. I would take it myself, Jerry. That is an excellent idea. I'm not denying that whatsoever. Jerry. Yeah, coming back to the question that Dave raised, is there a pattern that we have to go through? I mean, if we don't start off with some type of adoration or invocation, have we blown it? We don't have a great prayer. I think as I've listened to this, what I would say is no. I think there are some key principles that you might want to keep in mind, but it's not like you have to A, B, C, and then you've got the combination and the lock opens and you have a great prayer. And the concept of the relationship with a child, you know, or even with your spouse. It's usually not so much what you're specifically saying, but how you're saying it. I truly think that's what's key to a great prayer that we have with God. And then. Absolutely. I'll go to Gerald first and then Ed. Way up here somewhere. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I don't disagree with you, absolutely. But the fear I have, taken that to the extreme, I think we fall into the trap, as I've mentioned earlier week. We say, ah, God knows what I want, so I don't have to put any discipline in prayer. I can just kind of wing it and pray whatever I want, and I got a great prayer. And I truly believe that prayer is one of the disciplines of the Christian life. How it fits in, I haven't worked it out completely. I know the attitude, as we've touched, is very important. But at the same time, I think there has to be something more going into that. Now, I've got about 5 minutes. I see your hand, Betty, but you're just going to have to wait on me for a second, okay? Turning quickly now to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. This is what I truly consider the Lord's Prayer. In my own mind, I usually call that one that we were just looking at, the believer's prayer. That's for us to pray. This is really Jesus' prayer. John chapter 17, longest prayer recorded in the Bible of Jesus. Once again, I like to start out, what is the prayer's attitude and what is God's attribute that we see right at the beginning of this prayer? What's the context this is taking place? At the very end of the upper room discourse, Jesus is going to go out. He's going to be crucified within hours. He's completed his mission. He's instituted the Lord's Supper, and he prays this prayer. Do you think Jesus is being flippant at this point? I don't think so. I think Jesus' mind was extremely concentrated on what was going on around him. Remember, I think it was week two, I said a great prayer is an intense prayer. I mean, you really mean what you're saying? I have to say, at least as I look at this, the context, this was an intense prayer on Jesus' behalf. He didn't have time at this point in his life here on earth to be just, you know, thinking about things. He was intent on his purpose, on his mission. What was the attribute of God that he starts out with in his prayer? Okay? And how does he go on? That's his address, Father. Is there an attribute that he picks up? Glory. Glory. I mean, through this whole prayer, it just screams out at you that God would have glory and that the Son would have glory. And in this whole process and through, that both the Father and the Son would be glorified. Key attribute that Christ is focusing on, that God would be glorified. I think when we think of how we want to serve God, what should the outcome of that be? God's glory. God's glory. If you read at the very end of this book of John, when Jesus is talking to Peter and how Peter is going to end his life, then say this is the way Peter's going to die. Is this the way Peter is going to glorify the Father? And I just kind of throw that at you. Focusing on what is it you're supposed to accomplish when you're serving God? We can have a lot of secondary things down here, but the ultimate thing we want to do when we serve God is to bring Him glory. That God would be glorified. God would be glorified. And so, as Christ here is focusing on a prayer, that God would be, that He would accomplish God's will for Him. What did He want? That God would be glorified. God would be glorified. Glory to God. Going through this prayer, there are a number of requests. Once again, like in the believer's prayer we were just looking at, what are some of the things that Jesus is asking for? What are some of the things Jesus is asking for? Okay. Absolutely. Some others? Okay, keep the believers. Some others? Okay, keep believers, protection. Sanctify them. Oneness. Hope you don't mind if I use unity. Others. Okay. Using one of these when you're left-handed is really miserable. There are a number of others there. In the request that Jesus is putting forth, is there anything unusual about this? Different from the request that we typically make in our prayers? Okay, there's no confession. That's right. I'd like to just switch it a little bit. Are these the type of requests that we make when we pray, typically? I don't know about you, but if I go back and look over my prayers, my requests are usually, you know, for someone who's sick, more for physical needs, etc. I mean, it just seems like I direct myself towards that way. You know, if you're praying for missionaries, it might be that they have, you know, their material needs met, or if it's usually someone in your family that, you know, someone's sick or broke their arm. We usually focus on the physical needs that we have. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but here's what Jesus is praying about. And did he say, you know, keep them safe physically? Meet their physical needs? No. I mean, that's totally absent from this prayer. Totally absent from this prayer. What is it, if you had to think of just one word, or two, I guess, is what I'm thinking of, he was asking that God would do for these disciples, both the specific disciples with him in that room, and for you and I today as disciples? What, if you had to just down to just a phrase, or what is it that he was asking for? Hold them fast. Absolutely. I'd say that's part of it. That's included under a larger umbrella that I'm thinking, but that's absolutely right. Hold them fast. Okay. Have that, in that hold them fast to a strong spiritual relationship with God the Father and the Son. Absolutely. Okay. Once again, absolutely correct. All of these are there. If you had to put that all under just one umbrella, what would you put it? Glorify, unity. I'm glad you're here today. He was asking that God's will would be done. No matter how you slice it, he's saying, God, your will be done. Is it God's will that we be unified? Absolutely. Is it God's will that we be held fast? Absolutely. Is it God's will that we glorify him? Absolutely. But what is he praying? If you had to really look at this, he is asking that God's will be done. Is it God's will, you know, that Aunt Tilly, you know, get better from not breaking her arm or something? I don't know. It might be. Maybe it's God's will that she had a broken arm. But here's some very specific things that he was praying for. That God's will would be done. I'd like to go back once again in the believer's prayer that we looked at. What did he ask for? That God's will be done. God's will would be done. So I'd like to throw out at least as a part of any great prayer, is that we be praying that God's will be done. If you're praying that God's will be done, that has to be a part of a great prayer. So one thing I put down as an element of a great prayer is that God's will be done. Oh no, you can have different types of specific prayers. Absolutely. But you'd be praying that God's will would be done. Another element or essence that I would put down in a great prayer I'm calling it a focus on God. Dave kind of touched on it. Do you need to start out with an attribute of God? I don't think you need to start off with one if you don't have it as point A in your written out prayer. No. I really do feel though any prayer has to come back and understand the relationship that we have with God and be focusing on some part of that relationship that we have with God. Some attribute of His. I know as I've gone through this, studying what makes a great prayer and looking at the different attributes, it's been a tremendous encouragement and a benefit to me and in my prayer life. As I say, hey, you know, what are some of the attributes of God that I can be focusing on here? And the third point is, I'm going to come back to intensity, the degree of our prayer. Is it a flippant prayer, or do we really mean what we're saying? Absolutely. Okay, I've gone 2 minutes over, but now I'm going to give you my definition of what a great prayer is. A great prayer is any prayer which shows a practical understanding of a proper relationship with God. A great prayer is any prayer which shows a practical understanding of a proper relationship with God. Getting back, what is prayer? It's the heart, it's the relationship that we have to have with God. If you've got that proper relationship, you know what it means, you know the awesome God you're praying to, when we say, hallowed be thy name, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, if you've actually grasped that, as much as our finite man can, that's going to be a start of a great prayer. And then a practical understanding of what this relationship means. This is coming back to knowing God's will and asking that His will be done. This can come down to how, what is a great prayer? A great prayer does not mean that it has great results. I think that's our human mind coming in a great prayer. Well, I pray and, you know, $100,000 came into the mission fund, or I prayed and, you know, 14 people were saved. No, no, no. Great prayers are not measured by an effect there, outcome in that way. They're measured in the relationship that we have with God. That's what prayer is all about. I'd come back and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, from a sincere heart, a person who's coming and prostrating himself before the cross who needs salvation. That is a great prayer. That is a fantastic prayer. Because that's someone who understands the proper relationship with God. I'm a sinner and you're a holy God. And a practical understanding of what that means, I gotta just throw myself at your feet. That's a great prayer. As you move farther down in your relationship with God, I think it's gonna change. Your understanding of what a relationship with God is and who God is gonna change. Clearly Daniel, that great man of prayer, when he got to the end of his life after looking back over 7 years of seeing an awesome God, his prayer was going to be different from a mere child. Because he had a different relationship there. Does that mean his prayers were greater than that of the child? No. But they were going to be very different. So, this is my definition of a great prayer. I don't know if you agree or disagree, but I challenge you, sit down and think about it. Write out your own definition of a great prayer, and then at least commit to say, hey, this is the way I want my prayer life. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord God Almighty, truly we exalt you and praise you because of who you are. Hallowed be thy name. For we thank you so very much that we have a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. And that we can come into the very presence of yourself in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that each one of us here would know who you are, our proper relationship to you, and know that what we should do is to accomplish your will. May our relationship with you and with your Son be characterized by great prayer. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ.